This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Well, good afternoon. It's 5 minutes past one, and we're talking about a little TV show on Channel 10. You may have heard of it. It's called MasterChef. We're doing a bit of MasterChefing today. We're also speaking with the fabulous Juan Antonio Shawker, who is my co-host today, and we'll be speaking a bit later about the San Pellegrino Top 100 Awards, a couple of new entrants, one of which is just up the road at Birragara. Well, yes, we are talking cravings. Good afternoon. 5 minutes past one, a glorious sunny 16 and a half degrees outside right here in beautiful Melbourne town. Speaking of beautiful, I have a young man who's come to play with me in the studio today. He's incredibly handsome. His name is, do you go by Juan Antonio Chalker Steele or are you John?
Juan Antonio.
Juan Antonio.
John Anthony, if we're being formal.
So it's almost like Juan Antonio Samaranch. Is that the honour that you're bestowing on this?
It's just that Juan Antonio sound a lot better than John Chalker, John Anthony, at the end of the day. So I want to spice things up.
Oh, so I could try and do something like, no, I won't go there. Doing something with my name would be quite ordinary. I just call myself Tubby. So Tubby is here with you until 2 o'clock. We are talking all things food and wine. It's nice to be back in the studio. Nathan in here last week filling in for me because I've been down with some fairly serious food poisoning, salmonella. Good name for drag queen, that's salmonella. Yes, down with some food poisoning. So it's nice to be back on the air with you. Of course, 2 weeks ago we came to you live from the Noosa Food and Wine Festival celebrating our 6th birthday and 300 programs, which is quite, it's a bit silly. Been doing this what feels like a very long time, and it only feels like I've been doing it for 2 years. But, yeah, 6 years on, I've been with you every Saturday for that, or most Saturdays for that amount of time. Let's talk about you, Mr. Chalker, because you're about to open a new drinking establishment.
A little watering hole
in Collingwood.
In Collingwood.
Across the road from Circuit.
So.
Oh, good play there. Good work. Yeah.
So I like to think it's the stop before Circuit. Yeah.
So people come in and have a drink before they go to Circuit.
Yeah, so spend your $12 on a glass of wine and then, that's better. $12 on a glass of wine, then you can go across the road for Circuit for your $4 pints.
Well, everybody wins, don't they?
Winner, chicken dinner.
So it's a nice wine bar, sort of a fancy establishment?
Not too fancy. We're trying to make it as accessible as possible to the general public. And it's basically everything that I like. And that I like to put in my mouth.
So that'll involve alcohol. Nice looking men.
Exactly.
And making money because you want to create your own empire, aren't you?
Yeah,
empire building.
This is a start to my empire.
Because people might know, and can we talk about your family?
We can,
Uncle Vern.
My cousin Vernon.
Cousin Vernon.
Yeah, there is a bit of an age gap that he doesn't like to talk about.
Well, that's okay.
Cousin Vernon Chalker.
Who opened Madame Brussels and
Madame Brussels.
Bar en Pair and the Gin Palace.
Gin Palace all those years ago.
Collins Quarter.
Rabar, yes, quite a bit.
So what is it? What does he retain now? Because he's sort of
sold
off your inheritance, basically.
Yeah, which I'm a bit disappointed about, and I think gallivanting off around Turkey and stuff a lot lately as well.
Well, good for him.
So he's now got Gin Palace, where I learnt to cut my teeth in hospitality too many moons ago. And
because he went from there to Madame Brussels.
To Madame Brussels, I was there for 7 years with my darling Pearls.
Gorgeous Pearls.
Yeah.
She's been inducted to the Cravings Hall of Fame, did you know that?
Oh, no, no. Well, yeah, she does consume a lot.
Yes, well, I think a Hall of Fame award for anybody that consumes the amount that she doesn't still manages to be vertical, very good thing. I do love Pearls, of course. Everybody should know Pearls gorgeous. From Madame
so
Brussels.
Everyone should go up to Madame Brussels and... Yes.
Well, no, soon they'll be coming. What, have you got a name
for
your
venue?
Yes, I've
got a name, and it's called Banksia.
Banksia.
Yeah, so...
In honour of Joseph, Sir Joseph Banks, the botanist?
No, more from my roots, because I have a business partner called Brian, and we're having a bit of a laugh trying to find a name, and I originally wanted to call it Possums.
Hello, Possums.
Hello, Possums. Come down to Possums.
That would be appropriate.
And as the most beautiful heterosexual man that he is, he's
Brian.
He's like, darling, I think that's just a bit too gay.
Right.
I was like, well, let's go Banksia. After lots of brainstorming, and I used to work on a Banksia plantation, funnily enough, when I was a young kid back in the country.
Seriously, you've got this most remarkable list of achievements.
Ticked boxes. Ticked boxes. So it's more about my heritage and where I grew up.
So we're looking at biodynamic sustainability.
Yes.
The buzzwords.
The buzzwords, industry. It's buzzwords. So biodynamic, organic, sustainability. As we've discussed, we're... probably not going down the natural wine path.
Oh, thank heavens for that. None of them taste nice.
No. So we're more about dealing with people who put back into the earth and helping raise awareness through that, through the power of drinking.
So artisan producers, I'm assuming, will be sort of on your list.
Yeah, so dealing a lot directly with wineries themselves rather than going through big wine companies.
Can I give you a little one to go to?
Please.
Between Daylesford and Glenlyon, there is a little winery called Zigzag. We called in there by accident. Not by accident, but sort of on the road. Oh, the winery. Let's do a right turn. discovered they have some gorgeous little pockets of vines just in and around what is essentially an old corrugated iron shed, which they've converted into a cellar. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful little handcrafted wines.
Yeah.
Whites and reds, both of them quite successful. And they've got a bit of a deal with the people next door. So there's another winery next door who grow predominantly red wine.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a bit of a swap. So Zigzag give them over some of their Pinot Gris grapes, and they make a Pinot Gris.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll hand over some of their Cabernet grapes, and Zigzag will make a Cabernet. All of their wines, I thought, were absolutely faultless.
Caring is sharing.
Yes, so caring a tiny sharing. Little space between Daylesford and Glenlyon. I highly recommend you get hold of Zigzag. They're beautiful.
All right, gorgeous.
Very reasonably priced as well.
Fantastic. Noted. Excellent. Yeah, so try and deal directly with wineries and knowing where they come from and if it aligns with us, and go for it. So the list is building as we build.
That's
so.
What we like to hear. We've got a lot to talk. We've got a lot to get through for the next hour. We're going to speak very shortly to Hayden Quinn tomorrow night on the MasterChef Channel 10. Hayden, who I can't believe was in the 2011 series. All of a sudden, I feel terribly old.
Mm. You don't look it.
Good-looking boy. He was running around in Speedos at one point or another. He's a former Clio Bachelor of the Year. He's a marine biologist. He's doing lots of food stuff. So we're going to talk to him. He's a foodie, surfer, writer, presenter, marine biologist, and traveller.
Oh, travel.
I want my CV to read like that, but we'll just swap marine biologist for chef. A bit later, we'll speak with Shannon Bennett. There's a lot going on in Shannon Bennett's world. Mm-hmm. Vue du Monde, obviously Burnham Beaches, and he's doing the MasterChef thing as well. And then a bit later, Dan Hunter from Bray in Birragara has become a first-time entrant to the San Pellegrino Top 100. We're going to drag him away from the pans for a minute so we can talk to him about what that means. It came in at number 87, I think, in the Top 100. First time for Bray and first time for him. A big deal.
Yeah, fantastic accolade.
Question.
Well deserved.
There are some questions, though, from a series of or a collective of people in France who are saying, oh, this list is opaque and sexist and priggishly boring.
No.
So I want to have a bit of a discussion about that with you as well.
Oh, I'd love to.
But of course, it is Radiothon that we would like you to ring.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9, 18 minutes past one. This show is just flying along, John. Oh, Juan Antonio.
Yeah, it's just going. We'll be gone soon.
We'll be indeed. But first, we need to speak to foodie, surfer, writer, presenter, marine biologist and traveller. Who has a CV like that? Mm. It can only be one man, Hayden Quinn. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you two?
Good. Please tell me you're lousing about on a beach somewhere in your Speedos enjoying some sunshine.
Believe it or not, I've just left the supermarket. I've been shopping for a fancy dress party that I'm going to tonight. So I've got my Thor outfit.
Well, I was going to say, what are you going dressed as that you go to the supermarket to buy it? Are you going as Lady Gaga?
Sorry, I meant the, what do you call it? The Ringer Mall. So I just bought my wig and my mask and my Thor hammer. So I'm ready to go.
Oh, you're going as Thor. Oh, right. Yeah, no, we'll keep that to ourselves another time on the show. Hey, mate, it doesn't seem like 4 years ago that you were on MasterChef. It seems a bit weird that we're talking 4 years down the track.
I know. Time has flown. It's been an incredible, 4 years. I've done some amazing things. I've got to cook some incredible food, travel the world, meet amazing people, and I think that's been the most exciting thing is meeting all the cool people along the way. And yeah, back again in the MasterChef kitchen this Sunday.
I know. Now, this is quite exciting because a whole bunch of alumni, shall we say, pose in with people poking about in a mystery box. You're in there doing something very special. Justine returns. It's just a who's who.
Yeah, no, exactly right. So it's they're tagging it Superstar Week. I don't like to think of myself as one of those.
Oh, but, come on.
A bit hard when you're following Maggie Beer and Marco Pierre White, isn't it?
I'll be on there with Poe on Sunday night. She, like I said, yeah, everyone's going to be poking around her box. It'll be interesting.
And she loves that. I've heard it. Yeah, she loves it.
I'm terribly uwe vicar at the minute.
you started it.
Is that tired, Basil?
Get on to an invention test.
Now, talk about the invention test, because that's your department, right?
Yeah, so whoever wins the mystery box challenge then gets to choose the core ingredient for the invention test. So I got to choose the three core ingredients, which I might say they're pretty simple. You know, it's not, sometimes you see pretty crazy, wacky ingredients there, but
it's not an egg, is it?
No.
I would have gone with lemons or Neapolitan ice cream or quite possibly potatoes.
I like the Neapolitan ice cream. I'm one of those people that just eats chocolate, though.
I saw Matt Preston. I actually hosted a masterclass with Matt a little while ago where he made ice cream, and you can ask him this when you see him next. Yeah. Ice cream made bread out of melted ice cream and self-raising flour. That was it, two ingredients, made bread.
No way.
He learned it from a lady at the CWA, he tells me.
Oh, they're tricky. Wow. They're tricky women. CWA women.
So are you allowed to hint on what the ingredients might be, or is Channel 10 giving you a gag order?
I'm gagged. I'm fully gagged here with my core outfit on.
You're naughtier than us.
Dear me, it's all getting hot under the collar here in this studio. You're flirting with me again, aren't you?
Yes, I know. I can't help myself. but it's household ingredients. Stuff that, mum and dad, brother and sister, everyone shops during the week. They're going to be buying these ingredients. So it's nothing too
mince.
Crazy.
A chook.
Yeah. I mean, we're guessing mince, a chook, and potatoes.
close.
Sorry, I'm an Irish person. There's got to be potatoes in there somewhere. So in between all of this popping back to do MasterChef and stuff, you live on the Central Coast?
Northern Beaches.
Northern Beaches?
Manly, yeah.
Manly, nice.
And, indeed. Well, Cleo Bachelor of the Year.
Did you win that? You won that?
I did, yeah.
Oh, amazing. I'll Google those pictures.
Marine biologist. you were a marine biologist before you joined MasterChef.
Yeah, so I studied marine biology at university, and I didn't do a huge amount of work in the field. I got caught up in the old travel bug and desperately left university as soon as I graduated, rather than staying locked behind the doors in the microscope lab.
Have you got a very large trust fund, Hayden?
I wish. Don't we all wish we had one of those? Gosh.
You seem to have this dream life of... So you get to travel around the world, eat food, you surf, you write, you put your fizzog on the telly now and then. It sounds like rather an idyllic lifestyle.
It's very idyllic. You know, I've been very lucky and, you know, if it wasn't MasterChef, I would never have had these opportunities to do what I do. And, you know, I'm very grateful for what it's presented me, and to be able to, you know, get to do these things is pretty special. And it's because of, you know, guys like you being able to support me and put me out there and make me feel special that, you know, I'm able to continue this dream. So it's thank you to you, and obviously thank you to all your listeners as well. That's the big thing for me.
Well, I think they're all furiously Googling as we speak to look for those Bachelor of the Year pictures. It is one of those stations after all. So I want to talk about the phenomenon of MasterChef, because it is... everybody that we talk to from MasterChef talks about seriously life-changing moments. I spoke to Ben Williamson from Jared's Bistro in Brisbane a couple of weeks ago. He did a little a Tuesday night slot, came in and sort of puts some of the talent through their paces. And I was talking to him a couple of days later up in Noosa at the Food and Wine Festival. He said his website had 75,000 hits. And they were booked out for 3 weeks because of that appearance. So after that Tuesday night appearance, it's rather extraordinary.
It's an incredible beast, isn't it? And I think it's because the quality of the food, the quality of, like you said, the chefs and the guests and the people that come on, they're really of a huge, high standard. And when you get that sort of tick of approval from people like Matt Preston and you're standing up there next to him, people want to go and visit your restaurant. They want to check out what you're doing. They want to read your books. And, you know, this year, MasterChef is just, you know, it's slowed down for a little bit, but this year it's just rocketed back. Oh, incredible.
It's been great.
If you were to compete now in MasterChef, do you think you would have the success that you had, given the quality of talent?
No, I got asked that by someone the other day. We were chatting and, you know, watching these guys and girls and what they are creating is just amazing. So I think I would have had a bit more trouble because... There's guys like Reynolds, you know, they're young.
Oh, his desserts amazing. Are extraordinary.
He would have been like, you know, 14 or something when the first series of MasterChef came about. So you think about growing up watching these shows and, you know, being inspired and getting in the kitchen and doing all that sort of stuff. It's such a, you know, it's been a real journey for everyone through reality television in the cooking space. It's been great.
And it's also one of the things that I've enjoyed is listening to young kids at the farmer's market or in the supermarket, and they're talking about plating up and they're trying to find those particular ingredients. I remember when MasterChef the Juniors show was on, and there was a couple of young girls who ended up doing very well out of it but didn't know where that peas came in a pod and thought they came from a plastic bag in the freezer. When you're 11, I think you should know better. I think what it's done is given a generation of young people a better understanding of food and ingredients and the provenance of those ingredients. And it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, John, that sustainability and local and sort of that locavore-focused environmentally organic, all of those buzzwords are really important for young people to learn about the provenance of food.
Incredibly.
And I think these days as well, you know, I was lucky enough to learn from my mum, and, you know, people in the past learned from grandmas and mums and it was passed down. These days, a lot of parents don't have time, you know, they're busy working, they've got to make money, they haven't learned themselves. So having a show like MasterChef enables people to get excited about food, which then extends their knowledge when they can go and research and get to, like you said, get to markets and learn more and more and more, and hopefully, you know, continue that love of food. And it's such a key skill to being a healthy, active, you know, wholesome sort of person. Being able to cook a meal for yourself is so important, and that's one of the things I'm really passionate about, is helping educate people around simple meals, the fact that cooking is not terribly hard if you have a few basic skills, and if you can do it, you can make yourself a very healthy, happy sort of person through that beautiful art of cooking and sharing a meal with family.
As long as you know how to turn on a deep fryer, I think you're pretty safe. Hey, that is our annual radiothon. We are encouraging people to join, so I'd like you to put on your very sexiest voice and put a call out to those listening to join our station, become a member. They can do it online or they can call 1300-JOY-949. So implore them, encourage them. Off you go.
Okay, guys, make sure you jump on the phones, get online and make sure you sign up to be a member of the very beautiful, the very amazing Joy FM, the first gay and lesbian radio station in Australia. Support it, get behind it, and I'm sure you are going to be very, very happy when you turn in that radio.
Oh, look at you go. We're going to use that as a promo, I swear.
Not plug that better myself.
I know. Look, there's stay on the line a little bit. We're going to say goodbye to you, but there's a couple of things here you'll enjoy. Good to talk to you, mate. Continued success.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so
Cheers,
much.
Cheers, Hayden. Bye-bye. That's Hayden Quinn. He was from 2011 MasterChef Series. These next two items that you are going to hear, of course, are for him.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Oh, you're back with us. It's 27 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. We were listening to a song that was Hot and Cold by Katy Perry. You may have heard that used as a thing for a TV show. Somebody from that TV show joins us now. His name's Shannon Bennett. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for taking some time out of your very busy schedule. Reading your CV and your bio is just exhausting. How do you fit it all in?
No, you take it all in your stride. It's been a pretty long career. I started when I was 15, so, yeah, no, it's just a sort of labour of love, really, and I don't really look at it as work, but more just following a journey.
And that journey has taken you out to Burnham Beaches, which is sort of your latest project, if I can use the term, the vulgar term.
Yeah. No, look, it's once again, that's sort of a real project. It's something I absolutely love. I just think that it's sort of something that is sort of an extension of a hobby, really, for me, for growing vegetables, going up there foraging, truffle farm, and the eventual realisation of a dream of one day owning my own hotel, which we'll be a few years off yet, but if we can get the council and state government on side and get the planning permission, we'll have a great hotel that'll sort of be, think of it as a luxury kibbutz in many ways. We'll be able to go up there and...
Oh, a luxury kibbutz.
Yeah. You can go up and forage for truffles, and then whatever truffles you find, we'll take it off your hotel bill.
Oh, nice. You only probably need to find one of a decent size, I should imagine.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now, 11 venues in your Vudemont stable. That sounds like an extraordinary amount for one person to manage. How do you cope with that and producing a television or being part of a television show? Where does the balance fit in, the work-life balance?
Well, the balance really is that, look, my day job being looking after the restaurants, but the show is something that's pretty much an extension of a hobby as well, just mentoring a lot of youngsters, and that's what I do at my day job. And so I really, on Mondays normally I used to work from home because it was probably the quietest day of the week. Now, mostly on Mondays I work in the MasterChef studio, so it's sort of, it's a bit of fun.
How have you found the process of mentoring amateur cooks who don't have the requisite set of skills that we chefs come with, and that's, you know, some fairly strong knife skills and an ability to match ingredients quite easily? How has the mentoring process been in that regard?
It's actually pretty easy because the guys and girls that are there, they just have this huge willingness to want to learn and want to absorb as much knowledge as possible. So, I mean, if you've got the work ethic, you've got that passion, you know, delivering the skills is only just a matter of time. So my job actually is one of great pleasure, just showing these guys exactly what it takes to be in the industry, and they've just got such a huge amount of willingness. And I've been in the show, involved in the show for quite a few years now, and this obviously season for me has just been one of an eye-opener that the quality of the contestants is way up there.
I see, Shannon, when you're mentoring them, you are so kind and you're so patient. Has there been any moments where you've just gone, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, there has. There's look, there's a couple of episodes coming up where you'll probably see a bit of that.
the big me, eye roll, the wide
yeah,
eye look.
A few eye rolls. Yeah. Yeah, there is. You know, like, look, sometimes, you know, a lot of it's experience, and I overlook the fact that some of them do have a lack of experience in certain areas, and that some of them are young, some of them don't have just life experiences that you sort of need to use to adapt to in kitchen life as well. So those there's a couple of things coming up that you'll probably see that I do get frustrated, but
yep.
Most of all, I go with a very, very open mind, and yep. And I go on a journey with these contestants as well.
You are so extremely patient. And look at you, and I was just like, you're doing a great job with
thank
them.
You. Thank you. Look, you know, I've learned to have patience. Knowing Marco,
you've had apprentices before.
Yes, I have. And I was just saying, working with Marco for all those years, and now regarding him as a mate and stuff, I've learned to have patience. Trust me. I've got a lot of young apprentices at my establishment that I've had to have patience for over the last nearly 15 years now. So it just that comes with it, and you just know what's at the end of that road when they finish that journey and they sort of qualified chefs. You realise that it was all worth it, and patience is probably the number one skill that you need to have.
I've spoken a lot to Marco, probably four or five times now. He's never failed to mention you in an interview because I think he regards you very highly. What was it like working with him sort of on a peer-to-peer level rather than having him as your boss?
In some regards, in my mind, he's always my boss in many ways because he has had such an influence on my career. So it can be a bit intimidating, but I think Marco actually has learnt over the last few years to sort of more or less accept a lot of the guys that used to work for him as his mates. And peers, and so that's made the friendship so much easier too. In terms that Marco asks you for things, asks you for advice, and so I think that for me, still always in my mind, I have huge amount of respect for him and huge amount of admiration. So it's sometimes hard to give him your true opinion on something, but it's getting easier and easier. And I'm hoping that he'll be out in Australia again soon so we can continue the great friendship we have.
Well, he's doing another part of the show coming up in the next little while. That much I do know, so I think you should know that as well. Are you scared of Marco Pierre White? Is that, I know it's a stupid word, but is there that sort of little bit of fear going back to your days when you worked in his kitchen? And he was a hard taskmaster. It's very well known. Is there still that little bit of fear, or is it just respect?
Oh, just respect. No, I've never feared Marco, and I think that's why we've always got along so well. I've never feared him. I've always been challenged by him. I think that I've always held him in huge respect, but I think to respect someone to their fullest, you can't be fearful of them. And I've always just wanted to try and emulate what Marco was about. So I was always just, I was more hungry than fearful in my career, or in my learning career, that's for sure. Mm. So I think if you're ever fearful from someone that you hold in high regard, you'll never actually be able to really
step away from
them.
That's a good little tip.
It is a good tip. Shannon, and I know we're getting to the end of the time we've got with you this afternoon. One of the questions I wanted to sort of put to you, back in our day, and I'm actually quite a bit older than you, so back in my day it was a four-year apprenticeship. You slogged your bum out, you peeled garlic and potatoes for the first 6 months. It was very challenging. Watching now the availability of online content, and you know how much we go to online and television for our learning
information.
Yeah. Is it possible that somebody can sort of graduate from the MasterChef kitchen? And we've seen it a couple of times with Andre Orsini in particular in Adelaide, has become a successful restaurateur. Do you think these people in this series have got the talent to walk away and be able to open a restaurant without having done the 4 years of learning?
Yes, definitely. But I think the learning doesn't stop. I think as soon as you think that the learning stops, then you won't be successful. So, sure, someone out of the series will probably go and open a restaurant somewhere, and the key to their success ongoing will be that they realise they've still got a lot of learning to do. And my recommendation to all the contestants to date is that when the show finishes, yep, enjoy the 15 minutes of fame, but it's going to disappear pretty quickly. And
you're going to work your ass off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
You've just got to get the experience under your belt, and that takes time. So, look, I think it's an amazing foundation, the show, sort of an eye-opener for me of how many hours the contestants put in and the work ethic that they have to endure to sort of be successful. So I think that puts them in really good stead, and I'd say it's probably equivalent to a crash course in the first 2 years of your apprenticeship with the exposure you get to so many really good chefs and stuff.
I think you make a very valid point. Shannon, really grateful for your time. It's been a while since we've spoken and a lot's gone on, and we shall keep in touch as the season unfolds, and continued success to you and your empire, if I can use that word. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Pete.
Good
talk
on you. Thank you. That's Shannon Bennett. He is from MasterChef on Channel 10. Of course, tomorrow night, the former contestants all coming back, the former successful contestants, I should say, all coming back to put some challenges together. So Po Ling Yao is back from Series 1. Hayden's back from Series 2. Justine's back. Justine's got her own TV show now. So lots of them coming back to put some challenges to the current crop. And it's going to be interesting to see the evolution of MasterChef, John, from that time when they were newbies and just kids and didn't have the breadth of experience that some of these contestants already have now. It's quite startling to see.
Gone off into the world and spread their wings.
Indeed. 17 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. Of course, it is our radiothon and we want to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949. Send us an SMS just to let us know where you're listening. Tell us if you are a member or not. If you are a member, ring and renew 1300 Joy 949. Jump online to joy.org.au and you can become a member for the very first time. $72 for you, $96 if there's you and somebody else. You can call yourself a family. $36 if you're a concession card holder. Just $22 if you're under 18. And if you're a business listening, a very pleasant $165.
Tax deductible, please.
Oh. Indeed. And I'm very pleased to say that we got the Leader of the Opposition to join the station this morning as a member. So,
wonderful.
Yes, very happy with that. You are on Joy 94.9. It's 16 minutes to 2. We'll be back with Dan Hunter from Bray very, very shortly.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.
It's kind of funny when I play the wrong song. It's 15 minutes to 2 here on Joy 94.9. That's a lovely track. It's called Lonesome Tears by Dan Salt, and we were going to play a track called Money because, of course, we want your money to become a member on this Radiothon weekend, 0427 Joy 949. You can send a text, call 1300 Joy 949. We've got a team of people sitting out there in the phone room waiting for your money. As you say, a business membership for $165 is tax deductible. Very exciting news this week. The second top 50, so the 51 to 100 in the San Pellegrino list were announced, and I'm delighted to say that sitting in at number 87 is Bray. It's a restaurant owned by Dan Hunter. His very first time in the San Pellegrino top 100 list. First of all, we've dragged you away from service, so it'll be very quick. Congratulations.
Thanks, Pete. Thanks very much.
You and I seem to talk a lot when you win awards. It's becoming almost habitual.
Well, that's okay.
It's very good news. Are you excited to be elevated into this list?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We're thrilled to bits because it's it's a global list and it's global attention, and it not only draws attention to us, but draws attention to Australia and Melbourne and further beyond, and we only all benefit from that. So we're really pleased.
How is service going at lunchtime? I know we've dragged you away from a restaurant full of people.
Yeah, we're exactly that. We're a very full restaurant. So we're just, it's 1.5 hours into about a 5-hour service. So it's been a fairly slog. Hectic spot at the moment.
You're doing a lot of work in your garden. You've got an organic garden there on the premises, which you draw a lot of your produce from. So it's sort of hyper-local, if you will. How much is the difference does that make, Dan, to what you do in the restaurant?
Oh, I mean, it's intangible. I mean, it's you could have this argument for weeks and weeks about the quality, but I mean, essentially what it does is it provides us with that just pick flavour, which you can't sort of replicate with sort of stale food, you know. So often some of the most simplest dishes we do are some of the, you know, the most enjoyed and the most tasty because of that, you know, that access to the product, which has just been harvested.
Another announcement recently that you're going to be the first Australian chef that Fiden are producing a book for.
Yeah.
Again, you're elevated to very esteemed company, the likes of Massimo Bottura.
Yes.
Where are you going to find time to write a book?
I'm not finding time. It's something that just has to be done. I've agreed to do it, and then I obviously want to do it. And again, it's... I feel quite, you know, it's like quite a privilege to be asked by such an esteemed publisher to do a book and be, I guess, put in a group of people who you know, like for a lot of us are people who you look up to for inspiration and, you know, almost like your idols, you know. So
Yeah, I mean, it's the 11th. It'll be the 11th sort of chef's book that Fiden's done, and obviously the first one in Australia. And I feel, yeah, it's amazing.
You'll have to do it during knockoff drinks.
I try and do it regularly, but you know, sometimes a week or two passes and you haven't done anything, and you're sort of like, oh shit, like we're in a bit of trouble here.
I got to write a book.
But it, you know, I mean, for anyone, I know a lot of people who've done books, and obviously there's been some fantastic releases from Australian publishers in the last few years. Obviously, Ben Shuri and Peter Gilmore's done a couple of crackers, and Martin Benn's done an amazing book, and you know, when you talk to those guys, it's almost like. It becomes a bit of a drudgery, you know, like it's a big effort to do it. And I mean, this is sort of 50,000 word manuscript and 60 recipes and obviously all the photo shoot that goes with that. So I've been shooting like nearly every Wednesday for months now, you know, on a day off, sort of coming in and doing 10 hours of photos and stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty tiring, but I think the result will be worth it, you know.
Dan, you mentioned Martin Benn. He has, of course, Sepia, also made the top 100 for the first time. Mm-hmm. And you're in there with Peter Gilmore at Key. It's some fairly esteemed company, Tetsuya's Waku Jin in Singapore. Yep. How much, and I know we've talked about this before, how much does this make a difference to the bottom line at the end of the day?
Oh, I think, to be completely honest and a business owner point of view here, it's the most important thing, you know, like it's like all the creativity in the world, all the you know, the pretend glamour chef life thing that's fucking means nothing, you know. The fact is when you own business and run business and employ staff and have bills to pay, if you don't have a semi-full restaurant, let alone a full restaurant, you don't actually do that, you know. So it's an industry which is pretty cutthroat. It's an industry which relies a lot on cash flow, and obviously we do a laborious type of food which requires labour, and we have to do that. And I mean, you have to have a full restaurant, and unfortunately, you know, people would probably think I'm an idiot, but this restaurant is set up to be full, you know, like it's a sort of business which needs to be operating at a certain level to do its thing, and thankfully it has been doing that. And obviously something like this, I mean, if you just could see our reservation system in the last week, it's just gone through the roof. So it's really amazing.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. We were talking to Ben Williamson a couple of weeks ago at the Noosa Food and Wine Festival from Jared's. He did a spot on MasterChef, and he was saying that 75,000 hits on his website and booked out for 3 weeks from that one little TV appearance.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. It's rather extraordinary. Dan, I just want to read something to you because it's the last question I'm going to throw at you because I know you need to get back into the kitchen, but I think this very perfectly sums up what you do. The quiet precision of Dan Hunter's kitchen is evident in his dishes. Ingredients are delivered with Jedi-like technique in ways that amplify flavour and play with textures. One of Australia's most innovative and accomplished chefs. How do you wear that sort of praise?
You could read that to me all day long if you like.
I'll put up my best John Lewis voice. Our family have been doing this for generations.
Yeah.
How does that sit on your shoulders? Because it's not faint praise.
Look, I think it's funny, you know, because we're down a back road with a small sign and we just sort of get on with things. And I think, you know, I've always been interested in being in this industry for a very long time, not a short time. And I'd prefer to be, you know, prefer to reach a sort of middle range and have people appreciate it than crash and burn, you know what I mean? So we just sort of get on with things and try to keep things in perspective constantly and trying to maintain that level of perspective with our staff. And I think we're breeding a really good culture in this business of service first and accolades much, much, much last, you know, and just sort of trying to refine what we do and trying to make a business and a restaurant which people feel comfortable in and are excited to be at and all of those things. And when you sort of start to approach everything you do with those philosophies, you know, things do happen for you. They happen a much, you know, I think I've been really patient, to be honest. Like, things take a long time sometimes to sort of materialise, but you just have to, like, I guess, you know, we've been very clear about what we want to do with this business and restaurant, and I've been sort of very clear about this for a long time now, and it's starting to sort of happen, and we just sort of, yeah, just get on with it and just come to work every day. And if a restaurant couldn't be a more honest environment either, you know, when someone doesn't like it, they not only tell you about it, they write it on the internet, and then they tell a million people. So, you know, it's quite often in your face when things aren't going as you planned, and things often don't go as you planned, but it's about being, I guess, flexible and just trying to refine what you do day to day.
Well, mate, it's always good to talk to you. Congratulations
on
the top 100.
Can I say one thing
yes.
to Dan
Thank
really quickly?
Much.
Dan, yep. just quickly, I enjoyed my time at Bray so much, and I just wanted to say congratulations.
Thanks very much.
And not to blow smoke up your bottom, but I find you an absolute inspiration, and even though I'm just starting my little bar empire, I still find you as an inspiration.
Thanks very much. That's much
there
appreciated.
There you go. Now you can go back to your kitchen with a great big smile on your face.
I will.
And really grateful for your time.
Thanks very much.
Good on you, Dan.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Hunter. Bye. He is, of course, the owner and chef at Bray in Birragara, just up in the Otway Ranges. Like you said, it's on a dirt road with a little sign and doing incredible things with food. It's interesting.
Phenomenal. Because, book in,
yes.
If you can.
It's interesting because there are some questions around the top 50. Now, I'm not sure if you've seen this story. There's a petition that points out many of the best restaurants in the world are intoxicating their customers. And
nothing wrong with that.
The following words have been used, that the awards about which we talk, which is the San Pellegrino top 50, top 100, are opaque, sexist and complacent, with priggishly boring. Now, this has come from a little collective of French people. Which
the French do love a petition.
Well, don't they just? But I just sort of kind of find this quite extraordinary that people would sort of... They're questioning the credibility of the awards, and the awards have been recognised by industry for many years. So it's I don't think there's ever going to be a purely objective top 100 in the world, because there is, to try and spread an organisation that wide, Michelin tries to do it, but Michelin concentrates mostly on Europe and North America, South America to some degree. San Pellegrino concentrates, now they've now got top 50 Latin America, top 50 Asia, top 50 Europe, so and the Americas. So they're spreading themselves out quite broadly to try and find that perfect restaurant, if there is such a thing.
Yeah.
What I did find interesting in the top 100 at 73 is the Fat Duck in Bray, which has been housed at Crown Casino in Melbourne since February.
Yeah.
So interesting that can still make the top 100 when it's not even
there anymore.
It's closed.
That's true.
So the objectivity of this sort of list is interesting, but I was just quite taken aback that this petition has come.
What about the sexist?
Well, I don't know that it's sexist because... I think it's number 3 and number 4 in the world is a woman. I'm going to see if I can... I should have got this list up earlier to find out.
Google.
But Noima and El Cela del Can Roca in Spain sit at number 1 and 2. I'm trying to think of the name of the woman who is... God, I hate it when my brain doesn't work. But she's top 4, top 5 at least. And it's a family restaurant. Somebody will let me know, I'm sure, via a text message or something very shortly. But I think it sort of comes to a point where there has to be a complicit understanding that this list is never going to be 100% objective. You're never going to please all the people all the time, I suppose. We'll have a couple of quick messages and we'll come back and we'll give you a new little space a plug. And we shall welcome in the Escape Pod, who are joining us very shortly. They'll take you through until 3 o'clock. Then you have... the people talking about technology on Techno Gaze. You've then got Fender Bender. Critical Hit sits in there as well. So there's lots of shows to keep you entertained through this first Radiothon weekend. You're on Joy 94.9. It's 4 minutes to 2.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It's 3 minutes to 2. We're going to say very quickly farewell to you. So, Juan Antonio Chocolate, you're opening your venue in August.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, council.
And it's called Banksia
Smith.
Smith Street in Collingwood. And if people want to come and check you out, working somewhere else now at Brands Venue.
East Elevation on 351 Lygon Street, we have a beautiful chocolate factory attached called Monsieur Truff,
which has helped
me out with all my winter weight.
I can imagine, putting on a bit of winter condition. We're going to leave you, thank you for joining us, we're going to leave you with a bit of music. This time it is Money by Dan Sultan. The Escape Pod will take you travelling very shortly. I'm Pete Dillon, this has been Cravings. It's been a pleasure to have your company this afternoon. It's 2 minutes to 2.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.